We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to run a little bit longer here. Go with Carter Hutton. Let's go on.
And this is unannounced.
Thought
by
we had
the way.
Something here. This is.
Why am I looking at this picture? Jack and University.
Why are you looking at
that's
Jack?
When Jack was 17 years old. He looks no different now. He's he was a man child
yeah,
at
he's
17.
A genetic freak.
72 points later, I think, in college.
I played at Lowell again. I wasn't there. He's lucky. He would never scored on me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I remember playing BU when I was in college. They were like an NHL team, I think. They won the national championship the next year. The whole eight guys were in the NHL.
Okay, let's get right to it. We have a couple questions. The most important is body fat.
Yeah.
Are we under 10?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Really? Know. You're a goalie.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Why are you putting me on the spot right
well,
now?
What are your numbers? How many spots do they pinch you?
Lots. I don't know. I have marks all over me. They mark you with a pen. They prod you and poke you. And I think they do like...
You almost feel violated, eh?
A bit, yeah. You're used to it by now, eh? You know, you just deal with it. You try to suck in as much as you can.
Like, do you stretch a lot? Like, do you stretch as much as Andy Moog?
Yeah,
naked between the beds when I was I was his roommate?
Not naked.
Oh, man.
I know. I stretch a lot, though.
I'm still scarred over that.
I stretch like, every night before bed. I'm, like, constantly stretching. My wife's always laughing at me because I'm on the floor doing something or just, like, becomes part of your habit, you know? Like, every day you have to do it, especially as you get older, too. It's, like, becomes more and more, like, just part of your life, right? So it's, it's definitely an important part of it. And
you're pretty bulky for a goalie.
Yeah. When I was in college, I was like lighter. I played at like one.
Like you have shoulder caps. Pretty strong. Like a lot of goalies are all like, they're just bone and fat.
These guys are big here. Like Linus is big. Hammond, the other guy. Wait till you see Hammond's pipes, man. They're humongous. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Huge pipes. It's nice. Nice to look at. But I found in college, I played at like 185. I used to run way more. And I wasn't durable. I'd always be banged up. I'd always be hurt. Now I'm about 200 pounds, and I'm, like, way more durable. Like, so body fat maybe went up a bit, but I'm just, like, way more durable. And, like, for me, at the end of the day, like, I'm not worried about a body fat. I'm worried about being durable and playing good hockey, realistically, right?
Yeah. So how's the mood in there? How the first day for the boys, a lot of these guys, especially the young guys, are nervous, you know, going through the training camp type stuff. And, you know, how are you feeling going into this season? How's the vibe in the room?
Good. I think the first day is always like a bit anxious, right? Guys are just like with testing and stuff, you know, the mood's kind of quiet. And I think as we get in tomorrow, it'll like crank up more, right? I think everyone's testing gets in everybody's head, right? You just want to get it done with and do
it. I feel nervous now. I don't even know why.
We opened the show talking about that, Carter. We were talking about, like, I used to get so nervous. I mean, like, I could train all summer and practice the test and, you know, feel good doing it. But then when you actually get to the test, it's like the nerves, almost like the buildup, the emotion, the buildup to it, like, takes away from – and there are other guys who just got on there and cranked it out.
I know.
And they drove me nuts.
The testing's good. Like, they don't – I think a lot of the stuff's realistic here. They do a good job of that. The bike test is the tough one, right? You do 3 minutes on this watt bike. And any way you want to attack it, it's tough. It's just
so.
Like,
what is it? As far as you can,
like a wind gate?
Go.
Yeah. So like it's kind of. It's not a wind. So wind gate's like the quick 30 seconds. This one's 3 minutes, and it's kind of like a VO2 max. They're like figuring out your average watt based on your weight. So if your weight, like, so if I weighed in at 201 today, so I need to produce at least over like average over 400 watts
the entire three
the
minutes.
The entire time. So what any way you want to attack it, right? So the way that our strength coach wants, like, kind of told me to do was go 2 minutes trying to sustain a certain RPM, right? So I think I was at like 103, 105 RPM for 2 minutes. And then the last minute, just try to go all. And by the time you get to that last minute, you're like, he's like, crank it up.
Lactic acid kicks in. There's not a whole heck of a shut down.
Yeah. It's more a mental test, too, I think. It's physical and mental, right? You got to push yourself through it, the durability. So that's a good test, right? Especially for young guys who haven't really experienced a pro life. It's just keeps guys honest and seeing where they're at.
Well, how many years have you been a pro?
This will be my 10th year.
So talk about how training, like camp testing has changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like now.
No bench press test anymore.
No, they do a bench here, but it's lightweight, more just like explosiveness things.
Yeah.
So I remember before like doing like max like squats and things. Like even in college, we would do these crazy tests and it has no translation to hockey, right? We're now, everything's so dialed into what we need to be the best in the ring.
I remember my last. I remember like my last year here in Buffalo. We had four guys scratched for the first week of training camp because they blew out their hamstrings, maxing out their 450-pound pacer was one of them.
Remember Nathan?
One guy had
Gerby?
To go for back surgery.
Remember Nathan Gerby?
What? Do I remember him?
Yeah.
Remember, yeah, of course.
Remember him squatting? It was
well, he had to go down like
I'm
as
not kidding.
Low as that coffee
he was
cup.
This tall. He was 5'4". I can't even tell you how many plates he had on it, and he was popping up and down like I was like, is that really normal? But he only had to squat about this much.
Yeah, range of motion.
Anyway, things have changed so much from you know, I always wondered why. Why are they doing that? Why are they testing how much a guy can squat? Guys were getting injured. We had a lot of injuries at camp because guys were maxing out.
Yeah.
And the run test was the same thing. Anyway.
The beep test. And now, like in the summer, I don't even train. I don't think I go under a barbell the whole time. Like there's literally all dumbbell stuff. You do deadlifts for some explosion, but... Like, literally, majority of my workouts are, like, just with dumbbells now. Because you're trying to just keep your discs. You don't want to put a ton of weight on your discs. It's hard enough as it is as you get older. Like, now you just need to train.
Well, especially goalies, too, wrenching around.
Of course. It's more body control.
So how do you, as a goaltender, prepare for a training camp? Like, I know you come in probably early, come with the boys and do the, you know, the captain skate, stuff like that. But as a goaltender, you need that technical part of your game to make sure that mentally is... What do you do kind of like moving into coming here? Like, are you on the ice like through the July months? Like,
so I stay off the ice now. I used to go skate a lot when I was younger. Same idea. Any skate I would just go do. But now I've found same idea is I'm going to get the reps. I'm going to see pucks as soon as camp starts. So early in August, I start skating with there's a goalie coach back home. And I just do like kind of a private session. There's two goalies out there. Another goalie from Thunder Bay plays for the Devils. So we skate. And it's just all foundation stuff, right? So I'm trying to slowly, like, get all that technique back before I, like, ramp it up. Because even when I come in these – I've been here since Labor Day weekend, and the skates are good, but it's, like, there's so many guys. The shots are coming. It's not really realistic. Like, when in a game does a guy get a puck at the red line, skate down to the hash marks, and zing one on you, right? It rarely happens. It's more in-zone technical stuff. So I take the whole month just to, like, kind of build up my foundation. So then when things heat up, I kind of have that ready to rock.
Do you find your training – if you're just tuning in, Carter Hutton joining us here, do you find that your training over the years has changed because of, you know, you want longevity in your career too? I mean, like, obviously you got to think about, you know, the cliche athlete, got to think about today and stay in the moment. But reality, I mean, we all have an expiration date, and I think we all want to kind of push it as long as we can. And I think that starts in the middle of your career, too, the adding years to
your... reality is, what are you, 33?
33, yeah.
You're in your prime. As a hockey player, as a forward, you're talking about prime being around 25 to 29, and defensemen are, you know, a little bit later, and goaltenders, you know, you're in your you know, early 30s. That's kind of like the prime of your career, would you not say?
Definitely. I think the way, like, physically I feel great because I've changed the way I train. You know, you're staying away from things that, like, just hinder you. A lot more, like, functionality in my workouts, right? Things that are going to adapt me to the ice better and sustain an 82-game season's long, right? And then I think mentally, just, like, your smarts, the experience you have, the way you play the game, the way you can manage a game differently, right? Where I used to want to just, like, get on the ice and go, right? Where now you can, you know, kind of set yourself up better for success.
You're in an interesting spot because... It's not – a lot of times goalies are just kind of, you know, stop the puck, show up to practice, that kind of – you know. But you're a leader on this team. Like, you're a guy that – we've seen your interviews. And, you know, nights, tough nights where you're not calling guys out, but you're not afraid to tell everybody how the team played, yourself included. You know, how is that for you? Is that a different position you've been in over the years? Because a lot of times you're looked now more as in a leadership group where you know what I mean, where goalies are kind of left alone to do their thing.
I think, you know, that was a big thing when we talked about coming in here during, like, free agency, that, you know, that's what they wanted from me. And I had a relationship with a lot of people here coming in, and I think early on in my career you were just like you were just happy to be in the NHL, right? You were just doing everything you could to survive, and now you realize you've earned the right to be a leader on the team. And because you hold yourself accountable, right? I think it starts with, you know, every day doing what I need to do to... So if I do say something to someone, it comes from a good place. It's for the best of the team. And it's a tricky transition right now because I find... I've talked about this a few times. It's just like the generation of... Like, you come from the old school way, right? Like, I grew up where if a coach, you know, got mad at me, I didn't go home and complain to my parents because my dad would get mad at me that I got in trouble, right? There's no, like, sympathy. You come back the next day, try to prove somebody wrong, right? Where now a lot of these guys aren't, like, it's harder to have that tough love sometimes with some of the younger generation. So I think, like, having someone in the room where we can find a better way to, like, be more self-accountable to each other and individually is going to, like, propel us over the top, right?
Some guys don't know how to do that, though. Some guys are afraid to hurt feelings.
Like,
and
our accountability in the locker room, like, you talk about, you know, the younger generation of player that are coming into this league. That internal, I'm talking in the, not necessarily from the coaches or the assistants, yeah, stuff like that, but the players in the room, is there that accountability in the locker room right now?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it starts with Jack, too. Jack's like a... he's a heck of a leader for a young guy, right? He's still he's still pretty young, and he had to mature fast, right? And I think it starts with him, and he does a great job. And I think last year, one of the things he focused on is, like, controlling emotions, right? He's a passionate guy. He wants to win. He wants to play well. But he did a great job of, you know, I think developing in that sense, where we tried to create an atmosphere. And I think coming to this season, it would be good that if somebody says something to you, it's from a good place, right? It's not like... same idea as me. I don't think that I'm on this, like, pedestal. I can't be. Some days you need a kick in the butt, right? And that's why you hold your teammates accountable. And I think that Jack does a great job of doing that, along with, you know, the other veteran leader guys.
I think there are guys in the league. We played with one who, you know, I think a lot of people misunderstood their body language and emotion on the ice for, you know, being angry or disappointed, when really it's caring. Like Van, like Thomas Vanek, you know, would get angry and slam a door, but it wasn't because he didn't score. It's because he feels like he let the team down. There's a different mindset and perspective from it, from the team standpoint, where guys say, like, hey, relax, man. Like, you know, that chance will come again. You know, like, I find it common with a lot of athletes nowadays, how misunderstood they are.
Yeah, I think it has to be understood in the right sense, right? Where I find sometimes... even last year, we did some exercise with one of this leadership group we worked with. It was like five positive things about a teammate and one thing they can improve on. And even mine, I feel like all my negative things were like not to be so upset after games. Where, like, I, in a sense, I'm like, okay, I understand that, but it, like, it's my whole life, right? Like, I put so much into this. I want to win. I want to be a winner. So, you know, maybe you find a better way to control that and bottle it, but it's coming from a place because I care. Yeah. Right, it's not. I'm not pouting. I'm not. Even if we win a game, 4-3, and I didn't think I held my own, I can play better. I leave there trying to find something I can do better. Of course, at the end of the day, it's about winning hockey games, right? If we don't win, you know, it's not the answer. So I think in that sense, it's just sending it in the right direction. And I believe some guys' body language, you know, is misunderstood in a sense. But at the same time, majority of these superstar players, it's because they just want to be the best. So.
Sounds to me like. Times have changed, eh? Like, I feel like now when you lose in junior, their coaches are going to put a movie on the bus now. You know what
I know.
I mean? It's not like the old days where it's like, we got to win or we're not going to get a movie on the bus
there's
half hours.
Not one word said.
Quietest bus ride ever. Hey, Carter Hutton, good luck to you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Problem.
Always a great guest on the show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.